1 month or two?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. There is a ticking clock that Detroit will be watching very closely, one that the Obama administration is setting today and one that will no doubt reshape the American automobile industry. The president says carmakers can either become lean and mean or wither and die. Now, so far, the president's none too happy with what General Motors and Chrysler have proposed so far. The GM casualty is Rick Wagoner, the CEO who stepped down yesterday at the administration's request. It's giving GM 60 days to come up with a better plan or be left for dead. And as for Chrysler, the administration wants to light a little fire under its partnership deal with Italy's Fiat. It's giving the two 30 days to make it happen if they want another $6 billion in federal loans. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, joins us now. Stephen, how likely is it that this deal can take place in a month?
A leading British analyst that I've been talking to this morning says yes, in spite of this deadline, just 30 days, this actually could happen. Fiat could be willing to do the deal because if Chrysler's been through bankruptcy, it'll be largely debt-free. And Fiat will be acquiring a major presence in the US market, which, of course, is flat on its back at the moment. But it is still the richest auto market in the world. And come the recovery, it should make good profits for Fiat.
So, Stephen, what will Fiat then bring to Chrysler in this deal?
Well, survival, apart from anything else, because this task force has made it clear that unless Chrysler does form a partnership with a big foreign company like Fiat, it's not going to get any more taxpayers' money after 30 days. But quite apart from that, according to Professor David Bailey of the Birmingham Business School, Fiat would be a pretty good partner for Chrysler.
They'll bring two things. One is expertise in technology, but also they've done a great turnaround job at Fiat. If you go back 5 years, it was in pretty bad shape. They're now in good shape, producing good cars with a good position in the market.
And is Fiat not worried about these costs, though, Stephen, such as the retirement and healthcare benefits, all of those things that go along with in a deal like this?
Well, indeed, you would think that this would be a major concern, that this might be a millstone, and they would like to deal with this very much before these 30 days are up and not after they've done their deal with Chrysler. Nevertheless, Fiat is very, very keen indeed on getting into bed with Chrysler. We're in a period of great upheaval in the whole world auto market. We could wind up with only 6 or 8 major international car firms at the end of all this period of process of transition. And it does appear that Fiat would like to be wind up as one of those 6 or 8 giant car companies along with Chrysler.
All right. Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
All right. Car makers are helping drive markets today. Asian stocks fell between 4 and 5%. Toyota, Honda all had losses on the Nikkei. The Dow lost ground on Friday to close at 77.76. NASDAQ and S&P shares lost about 2%. Futures are lower today. We'll see if Wall Street can eke out another week in the black. European shares are lower by 2 and 3%. Another reason for the gloomy start to the trading week? Pessimism over the Group of 20 meeting slated for London this week. World political and financial leaders will be meeting to discuss the global economic fallout. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is calling on those heavy hitters to support a $1 trillion stimulus package for developing nations. Gretchen Wilson joins us from Johannesburg, South Africa this morning. Gretchen, what is Ban asking for exactly?
Well, Bonn really wants to make sure that G20 leaders don't lose sight of the challenges in developing countries. He's looking for $1 trillion, half of which would go towards aid and long-term lending, and the other half to go through the IMF to inject liquidity into emerging economies. The idea is to keep the lights on, keep hospitals running, keep markets working to make sure that the developing world does not collapse. The idea is that there's a growing consensus here in the developing world that we need to really look at the priorities here, and that there's a number of people, even in the West, who are saying, forget about corporations. It's actually the developing world that's too big to fail.
Does he think he's going to get this money?
Well, of course, it's a tough sell in this environment. The fact is, developed countries and rich countries have actually already dropped the ball on their earlier commitments to increase aid to poor countries. You might remember back in 2005, the G8 made a big song and dance about how they'd beef up this aid to developing countries, but by and large, they haven't paid up. So the hope is that they're actually going to meet those targets and then some. The World Bank is actually joining this cause and saying, you know, 40% of the world's poorest countries are highly exposed to the credit crunch, and that 53 million people will be stuck in poverty for something that they really had nothing in creating. So there is a number of people who are really looking towards the world's poorest and saying, you know, we really need to make sure that we don't forget about them in the midst of all this.
So, Gretchen, what's the response to these bailouts and stimulus packages in the developing world?
There's a sense that, you know, wait a minute, hang on. There's all this hand-wringing in the United States about a crisis. You know, well, what is a crisis? Here in the developing world, there are many people who are saying billions of us here were already in crisis before this whole thing even started. And so we need to make sure that our issues are remaining front and center as the whole world negotiates how they're going to respond to this financial crisis.
Gretchen Wilson joining us from South Africa. Gretchen, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers.
Finally, tobacco users are about to pay more for a smoke. Beginning Wednesday, the single largest federal tobacco tax increase ever takes effect to finance a major expansion of children's health insurance. Other tobacco products will see large tax increases as well. Major cigarette makers already raised prices a couple of weeks ago, partly to offset any drop in profits once the tax climbs more than 60 cents a pack. Hope you can join us at our website, marketplace.org, and our online blogger is there, Scott Jagow. Hope you can join us there. Thanks for joining us now. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.